non, ça marche.
Ah, oh, ok, ok. It's like stripes and
insignia.
Pardon?
Où est le marteau pour la présentation?
Ah, j'ai pas de la. Je pense pas qu'il y a des présentations.
Pas de présentation.
Okay, yeah, I can call it. And what is the icon flag?
Thank you.
Oh, yes, yes. The maze. Basically like walking around the Palais. You can never find what...
It's taken me years to become semi-adept at finding the next village.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels so
good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We have been waiting a bit as one of our panelists has not yet arrived, but I think we may as well get started. Let me start by introducing the panel. I am Marcus Kummer from the Internet Society. To my right here, she's not yet here, will be Alice Munyar. She was chairing the IGF in Nairobi and was heading the national preparation. And to my left is Chengetai Masango, who led the UN effort and was responsible for running the IGF meeting. To his left is Aisha Hassan. Yeah, I'm sure you know her all from the International Chamber of Commerce. And then to my right are two directors of the ICANN board, Bertrand de la Chapelle and George Sadowski. We thought we would sort of, in a first round, look a little bit what are our takeaways from the Nairobi meeting, and then in a second round, look forward, what could be learned from the meeting, what could be improved, and also feed into the discussions on IGF improvements in the UN framework. But before we start talking, I would actually like to hear from you. I see many familiar faces in the room, I think, who have been in Nairobi, so I would like to have a show of hands. Who has never been to an IGF meeting? Who is in this room and who has never been in an IGF meeting? Well, there are 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, that's good. There's a number of people. And we would also like to know, do you have any questions you would like us to address from the panel? You know, very basic questions. Don't feel shy. Why did you come here? What is it that made you interested? What would you like to learn about the IGF? We don't want to have a discussion, an insider discussion. We would also like, obviously, to engage with people who are less familiar. If you can't think of a question now, that doesn't matter, but please also let us know. And the same goes for those who have been to IGF meetings, and in particular to the IGF Nairobi. Is there any question that comes to your mind that you would like to download straight away so that we can think? Microphones, yes. Where are the microphones? Is there a roaming microphone? Yes. Bahir is...
Bahir?
Yes, yes. There is a roaming microphone and Bahir will take charge of that. Excellent. Olga has a question. Straight away, please.
Good morning. This is Olga Cavalli from Argentina. Which are the next dates that we should have in mind in relation with the consultations, meetings, MAC meetings? Maybe there is some information, and I must confess I don't have that in mind. So it could be good to clarify. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, that will be in the next round, then, when we look on what comes forward, and I think Cheng et al. Will inform us on that. Okay, let's get started then. Meanwhile, Alice has arrived, and I would say my major takeaway was, as with every IGF so far, the Nairobi IGF has been the best so far. It was really a great meeting. It was dynamic. It was also, I found, very mature in many instances. People interacted. It had great attendance, biggest ever, more than 2,000 people. So big compliment to both Alice and Cheng et al. For orchestrating this. And Alice, you just arrived, but would you be ready to say what is your major takeaway of the Nairobi meeting? What is your major impression? As it is maybe also worthwhile mentioning, I participated for the first time as a participant, and it's a completely different impression you get from the meeting. And I also realized sometimes you're frustrated because you have a feeling you're always in the wrong workshop. You know, you agreed to be on a panel, and you would be more interested to be in the workshop next door. But then at the end of the week, you have your own picture of what was your IGF. And I think that is valid for most participants. If you compare notes, what was your IGF? Everybody has had a different experience because there's so many different tracks. But obviously, both Alice and Cheng et al. Have more an overall experience, I think. And please, Alice, let us know.
Thank you very much, and I would like to thank all of you that came to Nairobi because you all made the Nairobi IGF a very successful meeting. I take from it as a country, at the very beginning it had been, of course, from the realization that the East African region was not meaningfully participating. And so for me, the greatest take was, to begin with, the numbers. We had 2,032 people attending and over 800 remote participants. And I think the last statistics were even more, so I think around 3,000 people in general. And also the realization that the IGF itself has evolved, and not just as a process, but just the multi-stakeholder approach has evolved. We had very many high-level people engaging, participating, contributing, and networking. And the side events and all the value add were actually extremely valuable, not just for Kenyans, but for people from the Africa region. There was obviously increased African participation, quite a number of us, and not just in terms of numbers, but also meaningful participations when you look at the value they added in the discussions in the various, in the nearly 90 or so workshops and the main sessions and the side events. To begin with, from my perspective, that was what made it such a success, and the fact that the different countries. We had, I think, about 170 countries being represented, 125 for the high-level ministerial on the first day, and then for the duration of the meeting itself. But I think Cheng et al. Might have more updated statistics, which means that the IGF has evolved to a point that it has. There's a lot of increased interest, meaningful participation, more high-level people, actually high-level middle, including students and those who are entering into this area for the first time. My government, my minister, and the government generally, extremely impressed by the opportunities to network not just with business but with civil society and with their own government counterparts in terms of the value and the number of bilateral meetings that were held. So, in general, very, very valuable. and specifically the fact that it was in a developing country, the issue of the IG and development was also quite critical for us. I'll stop here, but quite willing to answer questions as we move. Thanks.
Thank you, Alice. Let me turn to Chengetai, seen from the secretariat organizer. What is your major takeaway?
Okay, thank you very much, Marcus. I'll just start off with my major takeaway, and then I'll go down my list of other points. The major takeaway for me for the meeting was that there was a lot of interaction, and people really participated in the meeting, especially from the developing countries. We had 53% of the entire participants from the Africa region, and they interacted, they asked questions. We had a workshop number 95, where the organizers didn't come in, but the participants came, and they made their own workshop. So it showed that you didn't really need somebody, a moderator, somebody to instigate the discussion. People could come in and discuss. And also the depth of the discussion. They weren't just superficially talking to each other. It was really a good debate. And that's what I'm really pleased of, is that you see the the evolution of the discussions, starting from Athens to Nairobi, that people are really engaging, people are really talking to each other, and people are really listening to each other. And as Alice says, it was the most successful meeting, and we're not just saying that. It's the number of participants who were physically there, the remote participation. We had 47 remote hubs, which was the largest ever. We had 38 remote panelists and who were coming in and participating in workshops remotely. So I think we have really lowered down the barrier of participation so that anybody with an internet connection can participate. For the numbers, I'll just go off the numbers. As Alice said, 232 actual participants with the badges, 125 governments, 68 media. We had a lot of participation from the media. Africa, we had 53% from the WEOG region, that is Europe, America, Australia, New Zealand. We had 29%, Asia 11%, Eastern Europe 4%, 3%, sorry, and Latin America 4%. We had over 30 booths. That's we had organizations that are involved in internet governance issues had booths, and they showed what they were doing with internet governance, and I think that was the most booths that we've had so far. And 2,500 remote participant connections from 89 countries. So I'm really proud of that fact, and of course the Kenyans made an incredible effort with the networking and the internet. I think it was second to none. It was really great. So that's my major takeaway, is that the increased involvement, people are not just coming to listen, but they're coming to participate, which is what I feel is most important. And, of course, I'd like to also thank the MAG as well and the main session organizers who really helped organizing the main sessions and making this meeting a success. It was really the participation of everybody. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You mentioned the story, which is my favorite IGF story, which I would have picked up had nobody mentioned it. That is the workshop that didn't take place. It was on the Arab Spring. It was cancelled, but nobody knew about it. But people were there, and then they started discussing. So it didn't really need the panelists. It was really a bottom-up, interactive, spontaneous workshop. There's a story posted on Circle ID on that also highlights that as a very good example of the IGF spirit. Shall we have one board director first, and then the ICC, and then the other board director? George, would you like to be next?
Be glad to. I'm reminded of the joke about the elephant and the blind man. who each of whom feels a different part of the elephant, and when asked to describe what this thing is like, they each give a very different description. And I think that that's somehow related to my perception of the IGF now, because it has grown to be so large, with so many different sessions, that one can have an experience at IGF which is very different from other people's. And that's probably good. It shows that we really are developing a fairly rich set of topics to discuss, and we satisfy multiple people's interests in that way. I think it's worth looking at the IGF in a historical perspective, in part because my major takeaway is that this meeting is maturing. And let me give you a couple of examples here. You may recall in Athens, some of you who were in Athens, that it was our first time to meet. The IGF had been born out of controversy, and it was a political decision to essentially punt the problem of internet governance to the IGF, a non-decision-making body in which everybody could get together and talk. One of the major issues of controversy was the both presumed and actual U.S. involvement in the Internet through the IANA contract with ICANN and through other various connections, which often weren't named. And that is a real issue. There's no question about that. But in Athens, we were sort of dancing around that problem. I think everybody was relieved that we could all get along together in the same room and actually might make even friends with each other and might understand each other's point of view. Nevertheless, there was a faction that said that critical internet resources had to be a part of the discussion of IGF. They were correct. And in 2007 in Brazil, there was a very heated discussion of this topic. What was interesting was that the critical internet resources session has stuck, but it has become a very different kind of thing. And people are now talking about the real issues involved and how the control of internet resources is directly connected to the governmental models and what that implies. And I found that the CIR session in Nairobi, with a discussion of the IBSA proposal, for example, showed a variety of opinions, but each of the comments that was made seemed to be real, not polite, not politically correct, but directly to the point, without being vitriolic or unnecessarily biased. So that's one observation. The other observation, I was in three, I chaired two panels, and I was a discussant in one. There was a panel on constituent representation, that is, what makes a constituency in the multi-sector model? Do we have the right ones? How do we know? Are there more that should be included? Are there less? Does it depend on the issue? If so, how? There was a panel on the role of the ISTAR community in internet governance, and there was also a panel on the implications of the growth of mobile on internet governance space. Each of them displayed this same level of increased maturity. There was an increase in the technical contribution when it was required. There was an acknowledgement that there were different sides to different questions. As such, I felt very much at home there. There was much less anxiety, I think, on the part of participants. They interacted well, and I think that bodes well for the future. Thank you.
Thank you, George. Aisha?
Thank you, Marcus. From the perspective of the global business participants through ICC and its basis initiative, but also we had a very strong global business participation at the IGF this year, and there was also a very strong regional and local business participation, which added to the richness. And I would echo what has been said by some of the other panelists about this year really building on the experience of the past to be just an outstanding success from our perspective. Business comes also to the IGF for the opportunity to interact with the internet technical community, governments, IGOs, and civil society. And we felt this year that that was fulfilled in many different ways, both in the workshops and the main sessions, where I think, as others have pointed out, it was a really rich dynamic. People were comfortable to put forward their different viewpoints and experiences, which I think we need to keep doing as we go forward, because that is one of the unique opportunities offered by the IGF. We don't know where else we have that chance with this cross-section of stakeholders to share in that way. ICC Basis had an opportunity to partner with the host country to do a workshop on mobile internet and cloud services for development. And I think the mobile and cloud issues were very prominent this year. It was part of the emerging issues main session discussion, but several other workshops as well, taking different angles. And that's another part of the IGF that I think is a very unique opportunity, because there's several discussions that go on about very important policy issues and challenges, and there are several opportunities to come out the various angles of those issues. So we greatly appreciated that. And the IGF is also a very important opportunity for informal interaction. And I thought that the IGF Village this year once again gave an opportunity for the informal interaction among stakeholders to share experience, to talk to each other about what their organizations or entities are involved in. And that led to several examples of informal network building and relationship building. I'm very pleased, actually, we have one of our colleagues from the business community from Gambia here. I hope he'll share his experience. He came to me through the booth in the IGF Village. So I think the relationships that are built through the IGF experience can be just very important in the overall landscape. I think another thing that was very helpful to us this year was to see the range of workshops that took place. I had comments from several people I talked to about the fact that they were able to come and select a number of issues that were throughout the schedule, and they were coming here for information gathering, building up of relationships with experts who know about things that they can follow up on later, and I heard this from governments as well as from business people, and being able to sort of create a track that helped them to understand better some of the policy challenges and opportunities, and be able to take that home with them as a tangible way to have impact at the national level. So I look forward to adding to the rest of the discussion, but those are some of the high-level takeaways. Thank you.
Thank you, Aisha. And last but not least, Bertrand.
Thank you, Marcus. Although there are many usual suspects, as we call them in this room, people who have been attending IGFs almost from the onset, there are a certain number of people who have not and who may have questions regarding a little bit more information about what that is, and most of all, about what is the connection between ICANN and the IGF? Why do we have the session here, and what is the relationship? Why does it matter? And before just making the comments on the takeaway, I would like to make a few points to try to explain why it does matter on both sides. The IGF, as Marcus has explained, was an outcome of the World Summit on the Information Society, which was a UN-led process. But this compromise is actually today one, if not the main other, laboratory for the implementation of the multi-stakeholder approach. ICANN is one. It predated the World Summit on the Information. It predated the IGF. The IGF is the new kid on the block. It's only 6 years old. But it has brought within the UN system, or attached to the UN system, this notion of multi-stakeholder interaction. And in this respect, it's very important that anybody who participates in ICANN understand that the multi-stakeholder approach is not embodied only by ICANN or by the technical entities, but it is also experimented in a broader scene where it has to demonstrate, or actually where it does demonstrate, that it works and provides benefit. So the first element is consider that this Internet Governance Forum is another laboratory to explore how you implement the multi-stakeholder approach, i.e., how do you make people interact who come from very different spaces. The second element to understand somehow not only the relationship but the difference is that the IGF deals with internet-related policy issues. And if I want to synthesize the difference between IGF and ICANN, IGF is broad in scope and thin in terms of how deep it goes, and ICANN is narrow in scope and deep in how far it goes. The IGF is a dialogue space. It's a decision-shaping element. It's somewhere where people understand the issues better, whereas ICANN is a space where we tackle a certain number of very delineated issues to produce actual operational regimes. And so the IGF is a sort of, is a self-organized structure that is an annual watering hole for all actors, including those who participate in ICANN, and there are many overlaps, to discuss in general what they're doing, what they've done during the year. And I want to answer here one lingering question that people may have in the ICANN environment regarding the relationship between the IGF and the UN. It says, oh, because it is attached to the UN, is this a sort of intergovernmental body that is threatening potentially ICANN? No. It is important to understand that the IGF is a specific process that is attached to the UN, but that doesn't function under the traditional UN rules of procedure. The IGF is a multi-stakeholder dialogue space where all the stakeholders from government, civil society, and the private sector are on equal footing. I wanted to make this recap at the beginning because one of the purpose of this meeting here is also to encourage the links between the two sides and to make all sides understand what is the benefit and the mutual relationship. And as Aisha said, there is an overlap in participants. There has been an influx of people from the ICANN community getting into the IGF meetings, but likewise now the IGF is bringing people to ICANN processes. And so with that, I want to make two comments regarding the takeout. Beyond the progress and the considerable success of the event, one thing was fascinating. During the year, a large number of entities and organizations have attempted separately to produce principles on internet or internet governance. You got the G8, you get the OECD, the Council of Europe, individual initiatives in several countries. Sorry, I may be speaking too fast. Many initiatives in parallel. For the first time, what the IGF allowed was for all these initiatives in workshops and in sessions together to basically understand where each set of principles was going. And one of the informal outcomes is an acceptance by all those actors to connect with one another during the year to see where those principles overlap, where they complement each other, where they have different spaces of applicability. This is extremely important, and it has validated, actually, the global emerging consensus that there are overarching principles that define internet governance. This is a major implicit outcome. The second and last point is regarding ICANN, as it was mentioned, the session this year took a completely different tonality on critical internet resources. Whereas initially it was conceived almost as an opportunity to criticize the ICANN activity and the ICANN model, in the course of 5 years, people have understood more and more how ICANN and other institutions work, and the discussion was actually a very substantive exchange, non-confrontational, deep in substance on the new GTLD program and how it was implemented, and will be implemented, the upcoming IANA contract and how the process of opening up consultations was conducted, but also a very direct and fruitful exchange, actually putting in the spotlight one proposal that has been made, without getting into detail, by Brazil, India, and South Africa, called the IPSA proposal. That was a sort of test. And actually, the session was an opportunity to, yes, discuss ICANN, but also discuss in detail one very provocative proposal that was made to clarify a lot of misunderstandings. And my conclusion in that is, in international environments, especially governmental environments, and I've been in there for quite some time before joining the board, the worst starting point is misunderstanding on the intentions of actors. And because the IPSA proposal was presented just before, a lot of immediate interaction was possible, preventing the whole deliberations that could have taken place and reactions that would have taken place. So in that respect, it was very, very, very useful as a space for discussing the evolution.
Thank you for that. And on the IPSA proposal, I think I would like to add, without the IGF, it would never have been, other stakeholders would never have the opportunity to comment directly and engage directly with the governments who proposed it. It would have gone to the General Assembly, and governments there would have discussed it without being able to benefit from the input of other stakeholders of the internet community directly concerned by the proposal. Now, I take away from this first round of the panel that there seems to be a general understanding, at least among the panelists, that the IGF has matured, that the IGF is an evolving organism. I would also add it has proved to be remarkably resilient against any form of outside pressure because precisely it is a network. It is not something which is centrally controlled. It is a network of people who participate, who contribute to it. And I like to say it's like the internet itself in many ways. It is resilient with the intelligence at the edges. And the intelligence are all the participants. Now, I wonder whether there would any comments, questions from... There are quite a few. Okay. Jonathan first, I think. Bayer will go around with the microphone. And I would say let's have a first round of questions, comments from the floor, and then we give an opportunity to the panelists to comment, please. And also please always introduce yourself for the transcription.
Hello, my name is Jonathan Zook with the Association for Competitive Technology. If you'll indulge me, I'd like to tell you my favorite story from the IGF, and I'm a little bit biased, but it's almost universally recognized the role that small businesses play, both in the developing and, for the lack of a better term, redeveloping world. And so there's constant discussion about small businesses, but very little with them. And I've typically blamed policymakers for that problem. But putting it to the test, there was a panel on innovation and creating an environment for innovation at the IGF that was just entrepreneurs with no message points, no agenda, just coming with their stories. And 150 people showed up to that room. And there was even a scheduling conflict that meant that we had to, after they were there, postpone it a half an hour, and they all came back. And so it was this incredible discussion in the main hall, and no one was expecting it. Some of the greatest stories came from Kenya itself in terms of the entrepreneurs that are cropping up in the mobile space. And so I think it really revealed that there's a great deal of interest in small businesses and in talking to them directly and hearing their stories directly, as opposed to hearing a lot of theoretical arguments from academics and NGOs, et cetera, about what small businesses want. People really did want to hear from them directly, and we were really shocked by the level of participation that happened there. There were entrepreneurs from the U.S., from Europe, and from Africa, and there were young and older, none that were actually old, I guess, but, you know, multi-generational dialogue as well. And so that was a really exciting development this year at the IGF.
Yeah, my name is Yrjö Länsipuro from ISOC, Finland. On the session on critical internet resources in Nairobi, which was referred to by George and Bertrand, and especially the discussion of the IBSA proposal was really good and constructive. But I would like to focus on that a little bit more. That is to say, if we see what Tulika Pandey from India was saying, it was that actually what's behind the IBSA proposal is not that there is something basically wrong with ICANN and with the present system. Instead, she said, it's just too complicated for developing country participants to follow and to try to influence this process in many committees, as she said. And to my mind, this actually points to something that would be a task for the IGF. That is to say, if they want to have one-stop shop for all these questions, to go to the United Nations is absolutely wrong. Instead, I think that IGF could take up that challenge and restructure itself in a way that would, for instance, provide a stream for those who really want to come to one meeting a day, yeah, and learn, you know, everything about where things are, and also be able to give input and influence these things. Thank you.
Good day, I'm Pons Light, I'm President of the Information Technology Association of the Gambia. I just want to share a little bit of my experience and what I think was a very good job Alice Munya and her colleagues did in organizing the IGF in Nairobi, especially when we look into the role governmental organizations play within a consultative forum, and I was opportuned to meet a lot of, to have a forum and discuss with a lot of European parliamentarians. It was very good getting their insight on how the whole consultative process is and to also hear their take on the role ICANN does. And what it also made me as an African feel was how within the regional blocks of internet governance around the globe, whether it's in Asia, whether it's in Africa, how we can get more our parliamentarians to understand, because it also makes people to be less suspicious and understand better on the technical role ICANN plays in making sure the critical internet resources are managed. And I think it will be very useful also that we get ICANN also to have forums, small forums within regional blocks where they have the regional IGF, whether it's the Eastern Africa, Western Africa. So people, all stakeholders, especially governmental stakeholders and civil society, because now the civil society movement, who have really been activists and screaming about these IGF issues, their tone have now moderated because they really now know exactly ICANN's positions and due processes, but at governmental level, seeing the European experience, I think there's still a lot to be done at regional blocks, especially in developing countries. The IGF in Azerbaijan, in Baku, will be an interesting one. I'm looking forward to it because I don't know how the UN, I would like to get your take on how in a country like that, knowing how it is, how we are going to go there and be free-minded and the participation. How do you think parliamentarians will deal with that situation? Thank you.
Thank you very much. My name is Andrew Mack with AM Global Consulting, based in Washington. And I wanted to also share a personal story of IGF and what I think makes it work and makes it special. One of the things that you find about IGF and that I thought was particularly successful about the Kenya IGF is that it is a relatively open environment, relatively structure-free environment. It's not very laden. So there we were in our room, and we were sitting and talking at one of the panels. There were NGOs, there were some students, there were some people from industry, there were some people from government, and everyone was quite literally on the same level. There was no dais, there was no, there was no hierarchy. Everyone had a chance to speak, and there were a couple of points in time, very, very interestingly, where the students jumped in and said, well, wait a second, that may be the way it was done in the past, but we're the ones who are inheriting this next generation of the web, and that's probably not the way it's going to be for us. And we had some very, very interesting experiences where you would think they come into the room and they're all from different sectors, many of them are from different countries, and yet when we sat down as a small group without a lot of agendas and without a lot of hierarchy, and especially in this kind of open environment, everyone was able to say, yes, let's talk about what the future might look like together. And we talked in the end about harmonizing some laws in the subregion so the business people said, this will help us do more business. And the students said, this will help us connect into our compatriots in other parts of the East African community. I thought it was especially strong that the Kenyans spoke up and were so active and very, very knowledgeable. But I love the fact about IGF that you don't have to be a professional in the space. You do not have to be an internet governance expert to really have an impact. To your earlier point about the regional IGFs, I think this is a new and very, very exciting thing that's coming up. They're feeding in very nicely to the annual IGFs, and I would encourage that trend as well. But honestly, from now having been to three or four of these, I think it's a very, very strong model, and we should continue to see it as it is, which is a real, real nice working piece where people can come together in a non-hierarchical way that gives us a lot of value. Thanks.
Vandis Cartesini, be the next chair of NONCON in 2012. And I'd like to comment, Bertrand, aspects about the relationship among people from the IGF and the ICANN. And this is more a statement. Most of the candidates, we can good candidates for nomination committee that we got this year, got the information from someone in IGF, and especially regional IGF. So I will use also the opportunity here to invite all of you to, spread the word and, make it happen, because we need a pool of good candidates for 2012 for many positions. And IGF is the best, place to find them. So it's just a statement and, just about what Bertrand just said. There is a huge and growing relationship between those organizations that is, I'm glad to see that's working since the beginning. We made a lot of us here was deeply involved, and especially the regional ones. The regional IGF was, in my opinion, one of the best movements to, get people in and make them alert about what's going on and making, willing to participate. So thank you for the opportunity.
Bayer, I think you said we had a remote participant, one or more. Can we listen to that? Thank you.
Okay, I'm Bahar Asmat. I'm with ICANN, and I'm here relaying a question that comes from Shiva of ISOC India. The question is, does ICANN consider participation in the IGF as an important official business and allocate monetary and non-monetary resources for participation in the IGF? I noticed that even constituency and support chairs are not traveling from ICANN to the IGF in their formal positions as constituency supporting organization chairs. I'm not sure about members of the ICANN board, but I don't see many of them traveling to IGF in the roles as members of the ICANN board.
Thank you. Well, thank you all for your questions and comments. I wonder, does any of the panelists would like to address one or two of the comments we heard from the floor? Petra?
Yeah, first of all, to support entirely what Vanda was saying regarding the mutual awareness, and what we're doing here is to promote awareness about the existence of the IGF, which is a very welcoming environment for people who are familiar with the type of interaction. You may not need, on a personal basis, to go there. I mean, if you're mostly interested in what ICANN does and not broader policy issues, it's fine. But just as a general comment, this is a natural fluid space, and if you want either to follow remotely or participate actively, or if you have a topic that you care about and you want to promote, that's a place that is open for initiative. The second thing is regarding the last question that was made. I think this year there was a significant participation from board members in the IGF. Steve Crocker, the chair, was there, and I think four of us or five of us.
I think eight.
Eight of us? No, I mean, there was a significant number. And a lot of people from the community are also participating. There is a very valid question behind what was asked regarding how much of it is ICANN as a structure being present in the IGF, and how much is it people who are from the community who have also happened to be present. To give you an example, on a personal basis, I have been participating in a workshop, and I was co-moderating a workshop on the principles of the Council of Europe for Internet governance. And I did that not on my under my hat of a board member, but as the member of the working group of the Council of Europe that had been set up to help draft those principles. And so in many cases, we have different hats, and we may be intervening either as a board member or as a member of the community in an official position, or on a personal basis, or on behalf of our other tools. But clearly, ICANN and the ICANN board is taking very seriously the question of what is the appropriate engagement, what are the activities that ICANN should do at the IGF, what the activity of ICANN board members and constituency leadership or structures leadership should have in the IGF. And any comments in that respect is welcome, actually, because this is part of what the Global Relationships Committee in the board is doing, the so-called BGRC committee.
Thank you. Other comments, Alice, you would like to?
Thank you, and thank you for all the comments and questions. I'd like to comment on the issue regarding the members of parliament as an additional stakeholder. And to mention that for Kenya and the East African region, that was one of the stakeholders we felt we needed to work with and involve and engage right from the onset. I think the East African IGF was the first ever regional IGF in the history of the IGF itself, and quite a number of them have now organized at that level, and it's a bottom-up multi-stakeholder approach. And I agree with Vanda that it's also the area where you get many IGF participants also asking and discovering about ICANN. So there's that relationship that's also important. Members of Parliament are a difficult stakeholder to deal with. I mean, unless, and not those ones who are here right now in the room, but generally they are a difficult stakeholder to deal with. But it's quite important to work hand in hand with them, and we discovered that in Kenya because, in fact, they were the greatest supporters of the IGF being held in Nairobi, and also the use of resources because the Kenya government had to put down resources to host the meeting, and they supported it even though they were not there physically, but they've supported it all through. And I think Marcus Kumar here and my colleagues from Nominate, who've been working with since 2008 in involving MPs, will attest to that. On the issue of regional IGFs, again, very, very important. In fact, I tend to think they're the most important feature of the global IGF. simply because of the bottom-up approach and the fact that, especially for the African ones, they involve national IGFs having taken place at first, and the national IGFs then form the building blocks for the regional IGFs. And it's only at the national level that the multi-stakeholder model really does have an impact. While we agree that at the global level there's an impact there, but from a concrete perspective, from an perspective, that's where the multi-stakeholder model really does work. And for Kenya, we've gone further and enshrined it in our constitution, so every policy process has to be multi-stakeholder in nature. And so they've been extremely valuable. I'm not going to attribute the fact that we have a multi-stakeholder approach in our constitution. I won't attribute it to the IGF, but it's been a factor in terms of the various stakeholders agitating to ensure that they are involved in policy processes. Another very important factor that, as the person that chaired the organization of the Nairobi IGF is, and I don't know whether it has happened before, again, I think I look to Marcus and Chengetai to say that, but there was direct financial contribution from other stakeholders, which was so important, in a way proving that it's not just about contributing to dialogue, but there's more than that. And for us, that was very extremely important in terms of going back to government and saying all these other stakeholders are contributing to the organization planning and hosting of this meeting. So it's not just the government, and specifically our technical and community and the industry was quite helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. There is another question. I saw Marilyn was putting up her hand. Can you give the microphone to Marilyn?
Thank you. My name is Marilyn Cade. It's my pleasure to both make a comment and ask a question of the panel and perhaps even of the audience. I'd like to make an opening point that for all of you who are active in ICANN and who have not yet come to an IGF, and for those of you who have more experience in the IGF, I'd like to describe both ICANN and IGF as new models with some similarities and some differences, and the differences are as important and positive as the similarities and the congruencies. We make binding policy at ICANN. We don't make binding policy at the IGF. But we go very deeply into discussions and sharing of information and exchanges of views at the IGF. And I think we actually go more deeply in a more positive way on a broader group of topics at the IGF, and that is a very positive thing. And some of those discussions benefit us and inform us at ICANN. So I would like to describe the two organizations as sister organizations and ask us to start thinking about them in that way. As new models, they are sometimes nebulous and sometimes frightening to people who have not yet experienced them. So that may also be a value to us to think about how we help to decode and explain the new models. My question, which I would like the panel to perhaps think about, is the following. IGF is funded through voluntary contributions from a few stakeholders, a combination of governments, the technical community, and business. This gives the contributions are hosted by a donors fund at the UN, and this gives a sense of credibility and respect for the, and neutrality this for the funding. Two points I would make. I was pleased to see some board members, but not enough, at the IGF, and I would like to see a stronger contribution financially from ICANN to the donors fund and a visibility of the sisterhood between the two organizations. And I might ask you to comment on those two things.
Thank you for that. And there's another remote comment or question. Please, Bayan.
Okay. Behar Esmat with ICANN, relaying a question coming from Imran. Imran is from Pakistan. He's the founder of the Urdu Internet Society and the Internet Governance Forum of Pakistan. Imran has three proposals relating to IGF that he wants to recommend. One, the fellowship support to participants in the IGF forum for developing economies, like the ICANN has the ICANN fellowship support. Two, IGF forum needs the renewal of MAG, and it's recommended to activate this process with fresh and new representatives from developing economies, academia, and civil society. Also request to increase the total number of MAG members. Three, IGF forum must have an online public discussion forum to extend governance dialogue. And actually, he just put one additional proposal. Four, IGF forum may also be advised to start addressing to solve the local policies issues that has conflict with the IGF charter, like NN, probably this is network neutrality, openness, internet for all, security and stability. And then between brackets, at this time, IGF only provide a space for common dialogue, but do not advise or issue any recommendation for the correction.
Thank you. I think with this, we are clearly moving into the second part of our discussion. What can we take that as part of the second part of the discussion? I think IRIO was the first who actually moved into that space of he addressed an important issue that developing countries find it difficult to follow, and that the IGF should take on this function of a one-stop shop, which to some extent it has. But, I mean, obviously it has not done it to the satisfaction of everybody. But the open forums the IGF offers to organizations such as ICANN to inform about their activities, that is precisely the intention, that some people who don't have the opportunity to attend all these many meetings of the internet community from RIRs, IETF, ISOC, that they can go to the IGF and can be informed of what's happening in this space. But clearly, if there is a demand, it is also a sign that the IGF has not actually fully succeeded in filling this gap. So I would like to start the second round with hearing from the panelists of, based on their experience of what they think could be done, should be done, also thinking about the process that is already underway. Many of you here are directly and closely involved in that process in the Commission on Science and Technology for Development, which is the UN process of looking into improvements, which is in response to a General Assembly resolution. But I don't think we need to go too much into the nitty-gritty of these details. For those who have not followed the process closely enough, I think it's sufficient to know that there's something on the way outside the IGF. The IGF itself looks every year at its own way of reforming things, of evolving. And one of the important part of it, and Marilyn made that point, is of course related to funding. There are plenty of excellent ideas. We heard some of them from our remote participants from Pakistan for fellowships. And yes, the IGF has spent quite a lot of the Secretariat, Cheng Etai will be able to tell us more about that, from its annual budget on funding fellowships. But of course, this is limitless. The interest is great, and there are more funds needed if you want to have a significant fellowship program. Petra was keen to react, so why don't you get started?
Thank you, Marcus. Let me put those three elements. One, what you said about the participation of developing countries. The second one is basically the question of funding. And I would say a third one is basically the question of efficiency and how IGF evolves from the situation that it has today to something in the future. What is its trajectory? The question of developing countries' participation, there is a certain number of distinctions that need to be made. One thing is to be allowed to participate. There's no problem. The second thing is being able to participate for financial reason, time constraint, availability. And the third thing is the capacity to interact in what is truly a new mode of interaction. And I think the frustration by a certain number of representatives of governments of developing countries is a combination of those factors, because they recognize the openness of the IGF. They highlight, and they're right, the constraints in terms of budget and cost and availability. But they also indicate that they are sometimes uncomfortable with the way the IGF is functioning, which at the same time is the very purpose of the IGF, which is to change the way of interaction is functioning. And so in the question at the second level of cost and capacity, I always remind people that in all international organizations, even if they are universal in nature with 190 members, when you get to certain specific meetings, you actually have 23, 40, 50 countries in the room. And if it's in Geneva or elsewhere, sometimes it's just the third secretary from one country who is there to get the information, and that's fine. So we should not put on the IGF a standard of participation that has never been achieved in any other organization, and that actually, on a criteria where the IGF is actually higher in terms of performance of participation of developing countries. If I remember correctly the statistics, and maybe Shangatai may have them or repeat them, the number of governmental representatives, the number of countries that were represented actually in Nairobi is pretty significant, and maybe Alice will say that. So I want to highlight this because it is an extremely strong commitment, and I repeat it on a personal basis, not as a board member, but an extremely strong commitment by all actors who have been engaged in the IGF from the onset to make this as open, as accessible, as useful, and as welcoming and facilitating for developing countries' actors. And it is a message that is really, really, really important. The second element regarding funding, I like very much Marilyn's comment about sister organizational processes. And ICANN has been, from the origin, a contributor to the support of the IGF, including, in a certain way, in a very important manner, and Marcus can confirm, in introducing the notion of scribing. It is through ICANN's connection that the IGF has adopted the practice of scribing, which has transformed the mode of interaction of people in the what was an intergovernmental environment in the UN. And so, to come back to the funding, it is something that is clearly being discussed extensively within the board. It has a lot of financial implications. And in order to get a buy-in from the community on why is it useful and necessary that ICANN, as a structure, contributes to the financing, more understanding and more education about the relationship and the sisterhood, to take your example, is necessary. And this is in part what we're doing here also, to explain why it is mutually beneficial, and while ICANN's contribution, and I'm speaking here on a personal behalf, not as the board in general, why it is important and beneficial for ICANN to look in a positive way at how it can support and finance. It can be financially, but it can be in other ways. And the final point is regarding efficiency and what is the evolution of the IGF. Without getting into the details and intricacies of the working group of the CSTD and so on, or the Brazilian, India, and South Africa proposal, what I want to say is the big debate at the moment regarding the evolution and improvements of the IGF is a matter of the combination of trajectory and speed. There are some actors who want the IGF to move relatively slowly to preserve everything that has been established and not endanger what works well. There are other actors who are not at all critic of the model, but who wanted to go much further in terms of producing recommendations and actionable things. This is not about drafting regimes or so. It's about moving more into shaping the decisions. And so the debate that is at stake today is not between those who want to leave the complete status quo and never make the IGF move, and those who want to eradicate the IGF and bring it to the UN. It's about how fast and how far do we want the IGF to evolve in the coming years. And I think it's a very constructive way to present the debate, because it is a very valid debate, and there are many options to make this progress. And one suggestion, for instance, that I'm very keen on is the notion of thematic meetings. Let's not call them thematic IGFs, but thematic meetings in an IGF open multi-stakeholder format on a narrower issue. Because there are many issues where people are very competent. They don't want to go to the global ones because the agenda is too broad. But if the topic is narrower and well identified, then you can have a thematic meeting. Thank you for the moment. That's all.
Thank you. I'm not sure whether I'm as optimistic as you are. I think there are people who would clearly like to see the IGF to be more governmental in nature, more classical in terms of procedure. And this is also why I like the notion of sister organizations, because that is the key of the model we are defending. It's the internet model, it's multi-stakeholder approach. I'm a Swiss citizen, and in the 19th century, Switzerland was the only republic in the middle of Europe surrounded by monarchies. And then the US and Switzerland called themselves sister republics because they had shared the same model. So I like the notion of sister organizations. Who else? Aisha?
So from a business perspective, you know, the IGF has improved every year. So at this juncture, as we look forward, our approach to further improvements and continued improvements also mean preserving and protecting certain essentials, one being the multi-stakeholder on an equal footing participation and nature of the IGF and its preparations and structures, the other being the multi-stakeholder funding through the trust fund, which is independent, and the independent secretariat. Another element is a community-based evolution of the program and the substantive agenda. And lastly, that the IGF has this unique quality of being a dialogue space that has been described and not a decision-making space. So with that in mind, we partnered with a handful of the technical community organizations, ICANN, the Internet Society, NetNod, NTIA of Ghana, to have a discussion at the last IGF in Nairobi about IGF improvements and some of the ideas that are there. And so some of the key issues that came up in that discussion were around how do you increase the diversity of participation which is something that has been discussed in the ICANN context as well. But in the IGF context, a few of the ideas that have come out were to maximize the national and regional initiatives to raise awareness, to continue to expand remote participation. There was also caution about romanticizing the national and regional initiatives, which are all also quite diverse, to focus on how do we best raise awareness and strengthen the ability of participants from a range of stakeholder groups and geographies to come to the IGF. We also looked at the substantive agenda, and several of the participants were underscoring the role that the multi-stakeholder advisory group has in helping to synthesize the input from the community. Because for those of you who don't know, the agenda of the IGF is set through consultations where anyone from around the world can submit their priorities for the program or come to Geneva and participate in those discussions. We also talked about how do you best capture all this rich information that comes out at the IGF. This is something that will be interesting to keep building on. Last year, for instance, at the IGF, there was the first best practices document put together by the Secretariat. Every year, there is the chairman's summary. And so there was a discussion around creative ways of capturing, building on the workshop reports, which are mandatory if you want to do a workshop the next year, but also finding more accessible ways of capturing the various discussions on policy options, approaches, and challenges so that people have something to take home and integrate into their national level discussions and choices. Part of what we believe is that the IGF has a real opportunity to have people go back home and make more informed policy decisions and take more informed choices. So at the workshop that we held, one of the things was, how do you talk about, how do you capture what really does come out across the agenda? And then we also had a discussion around the fact that some of the improvements will also be connected to funding. And so making the realistic link to financial realities and what the Secretariat and what the community can do to help keep improving. So improvements need to be realistically connected to increased funding. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Who next? Alice?
Thank you. I have very little to add to that. But I think one of the, in terms of improvements, for me, at a personal level, the immediate one would be, you know, if we could get the new chair of the MAG renewed, get the executive secretary appointed. I think that would be very helpful for the country that's going to be hosting the 2012 IGF. So in very short term. But also in recognizing that the IGF has been an invaluable space to facilitate policy dialogue, some of the dialogues being quite controversial. But one of the things that we feel that hasn't been achieved when you look at the Tunis agenda is facilitating dialogue between policy-making bodies, especially intergovernmental bodies. And that's why one of the reasons why Kenya was very keen to ensure that some of those bodies were represented during the IGF, the ITU, and others. And I think that needs to continue in recognition of the fact that there are quite big overlaps between policy at the national level and at the international level, and there's need for that dialogue to take place. And I think the IGF is the best space and forum to offer that. And also, again, to reiterate the urgent need to ensure that there's meaningful and increased participation of developing country stakeholders. Thank you.
Thank you. George?
Thank you, Marcus. First of all, something I should have said at the beginning, it should be clear to everyone listening that Bertrand's and my opinions are our personal opinions and not the opinions, official opinions of ICANN. Well, there's a lot to say, but not everything that can be said should be said. So I want to give six quick reactions to improvements. First of all, we should improve the IGF by allowing everyone to attend. Somebody noted that attendance was open to everyone. It's not. If you're from Taiwan, you're in trouble. And it's interesting that whereas the civil society component of the IGF has concerns about going to Baku, the United Nations has none because it's part of the UN family. That's a distinction. I don't know if Taiwan is unique. I suspect it's not. That's a tough thing for the UN to do, but let's recognize that the UN is for almost everyone, not for everyone. Second, there's an element of luck in the way that the IGF has developed. We've been dependent upon the composition of the MAG, the direction of the MAG, and this takes certain sectors, and maybe most of us, outside our comfort zone, because when the gentleman from Pakistan says, we want new, fresh faces on the MAG, some of us here, we want new, fresh faces who are unpredictable on the MAG. And that probably upsets people who are in sectors who believe in stable, reliable relationships and well-known algorithms for progress. We have to learn to live with that. Third, one person's improvement is another person's threat. It's important to differentiate between those things. For example, the making of a bureau in the UN, one might call that bureaucratization, a goodly number of us believe would be an impediment to the good things that the IGF is producing. So one improvement is to make people more comfortable with the notion that it shouldn't be a bureau, that the existing set of informal relationships works and will continue to work because of its track record, which is at the moment still being formed. Fourth, I think we need to improve the participation of governmental people at a level which will make a difference. The IGF has been extraordinarily useful in reducing the level of ignorance regarding the whole internet ecosystem and the players within it. That process needs to be applied more and more to people in government, and there's nothing like experiencing an IGF to convey the spirit, the force of the entire process. Fifth, I can't read my own writing here. We should try to sharpen the distinction in the IGF between the problems and the issues that exist and the locus in which they can be most effectively addressed. At the beginning, in Athens, I think there was a concern about lots of issues and a cry for progress, reform, change, etc., but not a good identification of where that issue could best be discussed so that progress and reform could be made. My own sense is that most of the issues in the IGF can be solved more fundamentally at a national level. That is, they are national issues. They maybe also have a regional and an international component, but governments are best at dealing with this. And that's where my point six comes in, that it's the regional and especially the national IGFs that make a big difference in addressing the problems where they can most readily be addressed and where progress can be made. So we really should emphasize the national and the national IGFs and the bottom-up flow of information to the top. Thank you.
Thank you. Allow me a short comment on the last point. I heard with one national IGF, someone made the comment, good internet governance begins at home. And this is very much in line. I think it's true also what Alice said. The impact is most tangible at the national level. And be that only as a process, once you establish a multi-stakeholder process at the national level, it has its own impact for future decisions. But let me turn to Cheng Etai from a secretariat perspective.
Thank you, Marcus. I'll just make a few brief comments on the things that have been discussed. As far as ICANN participation is concerned, they've been participating since the very beginning, and I do think we do have a close relationship since we do have similar issues and we do deal with stakeholders and have same problems of how to involve stakeholders and to make them participate. And we have discussions with them when we come to these meetings, and they have participated in the open forums and workshops. And also, the President and CEO has always been to every single one of our IGFs. So as far as participation and talking to each other is concerned, we do that. Another brief comment on the national regional IGFs. I'd just like to echo, yes. The national and regional IGFs do not have the same complex constraints as the global IGF, should I say, about making recommendations, etc. And at the national level and at the regional level, it is easier for them to organize. And they don't face issues as, you know, what is a quorum, et cetera, which we do face in the global IGF. And from the remote participation, we do have, there is the CSTD working group process, which is looking at improvements, but we also do have our own continuous improvement process. We are going to have our taking stock and the way forward session, and that's going to be in February. The proposed dates at the moment are 14, 15, 16. When we have those solidified, I'll post them on the internet and send a mailing out. And I do encourage everybody to send in their comments, either in paper form. Come to the consultations if you can, and of course the remote participation. We do have an online discussion forum. I think that was one of the questions that we asked. We do have it. It is not used heavily. We do have a few people who do use it. I can count them on my fingers, like 10 people. Maybe we should. But, I mean, we do have serious suggestions coming from that, and we do incorporate that into our open consultations meetings. And as far as new delegates concerned, yes, the most we do feel that we should do more. We have a new delegates briefing session. We're going to try and improve the website so that people can come in and read up and know what the IGF is about. But the number one problem, as has been said time and time again here, is resources and financing. These things aren't resource neutral, and we do have to have more funding in order to do these things. As far we do have a fellowship program which we carry out during the year. We choose fellows from least developing countries to come work at the secretariat for 3 months or more to learn what the issues are, attend an open consultation, and that way they can go home and participate in the local community and in the government. We've had some very successful fellows who've come to Geneva, participated, gone back home, started their own national IGFs, and we've had a very good success in those. But again, funding, if we are to bring these people here and to Geneva and participate. I think that is all. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think there were also comments from the floor. Why can you go right? Steve asked for the floor. Olga asked for the floor.
Thank you. Thank you. Steve Del Bianco with NetChoice. George Sadowski, you opened with the elephant metaphor in the sixth blind man. But there's another elephant metaphor that suggests itself on this whole discussion of the changes to IGF. It's the elephant in the room. Because Bertrand said that the improvements discussion is about how fast and how far IGF should go. But in reality, the discussion is how fast and far should the United Nations move in its desire to oversee or potentially even replace parts of the multi-stakeholder model that we have. Now, to prevail on that question, it's incumbent on those of us here at ICANN to deliver on the promises we made. For the new TLD program, we've got to have availability and integrity, and we have to be responsive and responsible to help governments, those who run the UN, to help governments fight crime that happens online. So that's the elephant in the room, not only here, but at the IGF, and it's better for us to know it and address it head on and actually win, not with our discussions or debate, but win by delivering results.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is Olga Cavalli from Argentina. Before my comment, I would like to say that this IGF, at least for me, that I've been blessed to participate in all of them, was special because it was the first one after the five-year mandate. And I think that the many of us contributed, me as a MAC member and other MAC members and many companies and institutions, but there are, I think Alice and Chengetai had made a difference, and they had a major leadership role. So every time I get a mic, I say this, and I say this again. So thank you very much to both of you. And having said so, just a brief comment about a program we have in Latin America, which is the South School of Internet Governance, which is supported by the contribution of many companies and organizations. Some of them are here with us. Among them are ICANN, Nominet, and some others, and some other friends we have here. We have trained more than 200 professionals, young, not so young, from governments, civil society, companies, students, universities. Some of them are quite involved in the process now. And so I would like to mention that this is an outcome of the IGF process and what we want to achieve. It's good that Chengetai did mention the statistics, 4% of participation from Latin America. We want more Latin Americans involved. So this is the purpose. Some of you have been fellow participants as panelists, Marcus Bertrand. So just wanted to mention that if you're from the region and want to apply, talk to us and we will give you the address, where to do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And last comment, I think, is in the back of... No, there's two more. Adam and then Oscar asked for the floor.
Just hello, Adam Peake from Glocom Tokyo. A quick thought about IGF and funding. We've heard for 5 or 6 years that there isn't enough money going around. But, you know, it's a matter of priorities, I think. This week, developing countries have managed to send extremely large delegations to the ITU World Meeting in Geneva. It's priorities. It's a very costly thing to do. And the IGF world is much like the IGF. The ITA world, much like the IGF, is about talk and dialogue. So it's a similar sort of environment, but it's about priorities of where you will spend your money. Kenya spent, what, $2 million on putting on an IGF, extremely successful. Why aren't the OECD countries putting forward 5% of that every year and supporting the IGF? The money is there. It's a matter of priorities. Kenya found the money. Kenya made the IGF happen. Why are not the countries that we hear so often very vocally supporting the IGF and the multi-stakeholder money model, why are they not supporting it? And that seems to be a reasonable question, I hope. Business, which we hear repeatedly saying that the IGF is a wonderful thing, why are they not supporting it more? It's money is there, it's about priorities, I think, and... The one that I would like to comment on is the technical community, who we are seeing contributing funds. ICANN, ISOC, and the regional internet registries have all been solid supporters of the IGF, so I think that needs to be recognized. But OECD governments and business, I think it's your time to step up and provide funding for what you are saying is an extremely important process. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam, for asking the right questions. Oscar asked for the microphone.
Thank you, Bahar. Just a quick comment. We should not forget the fact that the IGF is not a single day celebration like Thanksgiving, and that this is a whole year process. It contains a lot of consultations, regional, national events, and discussions that... We should not forget that, and if we are not able to attend a physical place, we are still part of the process locally, regionally, or even online.
There are some remote comments, but I think we have to come to a close. I think we've scheduled till 5:30, as far as I understand.
Okay, this is Beher Esmet. I'm relaying comments and questions from remote participants. Actually, I have five comments. comments and questions. One is from Patrick. Patrick is a fellow, ICANN fellow from Jamaica, and his question is, how is the IGF functionality, how is the IGF functionally different from ISOC? That's one question. Other question from Mudu from Sonatel, Senegal. This is actually a comment. The comment reads, important to focus on content development in Africa. We should bring the content as close as possible to the African internet users and develop local content. Third question from Imran from Pakistan. He's reacting to Shingetai's answer to his question. And he's saying, as the panel identified about discussion forum and fellowship option for least developed countries, it's requested to please share the links where we can find it. Another comment from Nurani Nimpunu from NetNod. I'd like to make the point that many have said that the ultimate test to the IGF is whether or not people will continue to engage in the process. The fact that this IGF was the largest ever is a good proof of how relevant the IGF is to its stakeholders. A final question from Rook. The question reads, most regional IGFs, especially in Africa, are driven by civil society, and there seems to be less involvement by regional economic communities such as COMESA, EAC, etc. What are the plans for bringing them on board?
Right. Quite a rich menu there. I don't think we'll be able to answer all of them, but and I don't think even we try can make the attempt to answer these questions, but I would suggest the remote participants either then send an email to the panelists concerned. Some of them, like bringing in regional organizations, it is a long-term process. And also the comment Alice made about one of the parts of the mandate, the interaction with intergovernmental organizations, has not reached its full potential, is part of that. The IGF is the new kid on the block, and old established organizations don't play easily with a new kid on the block. They have a certain standing. There's an old saying in sort of UN circles, everybody likes to coordinate, but nobody wants to be coordinated. And this is, I think, very much at the heart of it. It is naive to think that you can create something which is not an organization, which is a loose platform, a process for an annual event, and then that the established organizations would go and do whatever this loose platform tells them to do. All we can do is collectively create an atmosphere, a spirit where they talk to each other and play nicely with each other. And that was what the open forums, for instance, are here for. And many of the comments I heard were precisely the IGF established or managed to establish a dialogue or people who did not talk with each other beforehand. And the first time I heard the notion of maturing was in Hyderabad, when in Athens everybody was extremely nervous. The world might collapse, the internet might stop, and whatever. Rio was a little bit okay. We can't go a step further, but there was still a spirit of suspicion, if not confrontation. Hyderabad was the first time where there was a feeling of comfort settled in. People felt more comfortable with each other discussing things. And this clearly has evolved since. And I think so far Nairobi clearly has been the culmination of this process, where it was really open, possible to have open discussions without suspicions. And I think moving on that path, I think hopefully we will be able also to bring in more of the other important actors to play openly. And again, I think I would like to echo what Adam said. The internet community early on moved in as supporting organizations. Would any of the panelists like to make a final comment before we break for lunch? Please, Alice.
I just wanted to respond, I think, to the question regarding regional organizations in Africa. And back to what Marcus is saying, it's not all gloom. I think for the Africa region, there's a little bit more, you know, positive. The regional organizations are already getting involved. Like, we have the African Union Commission and the UN Economic Commission for Africa that's hosting the African IGF. Although we still have a lot of work, you know, in terms of determining what the African IGF is going to do, what's its use and objectives, but just, you know, the fact that some of these regional intergovernmental organizations are getting interested in the IGF process is important, even at the national and regional level. Thank you.
Bertrand?
I want to make one sentence, which is, being an optimist doesn't mean that you are naive. It's a matter of will. The reason why I say that the debate is about how far and how fast is because the other topic, which is whether the IGF is multi-stakeholder or not, is simply not on the agenda. It has been decided by 174 countries at the level of heads of state in 2005. This is not on the agenda, period.
With this, I think we can close the session. I thank you all for your attention, and thank you for attending.